CliffCentral.com.
All right, here we are. We're live. It's Wednesday morning. Still in the middle of winter. Yes, you have woken up, and it's dark at 6 o'clock. Nothing we can do about that. That's just the way it goes. Sorry about that. I can't help it. Don't blame me. Don't shoot the messenger. And, yeah, we could be load shat at any given moment, but Flax and I were talking about this just a moment ago, because Michael Flax is our special guest host this morning. We were both saying this. There's no point in moaning about this stuff. If it's better if they stick to a schedule, then at least you know you can deal with it and work around it. But otherwise, you're screwed. How are you doing, Flax? Nice to see you, dude. You good?
I'm trying to figure out why it gets colder when we pass halfway through winter.
I know. There's something weird. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, oh, it hasn't been such a cold winter. It's not so bad. And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's all not in the eye of the beholder. It's like if you say someone is good looking, or you say, you know, something is great or it's shit, it's all up to the person who's perceiving it. I've always found, like, July is way worse than June. And people say to me, no, but the middle of winter is on the calendar. It's in June. So once you pass through June, it gets better from there. And I'm like, no. July is the shittiest of all. It's like, and it also looks the bleakest, because if you're lucky at the beginning of June, there's still some leaves on the trees. You know, things are still a little bit green. It's not that brown and that yellow and that gray that you get, especially in Gauteng. I know that the Cape has these beautiful beautiful winters where, you know, it rains, so there's still a lot that's green. We don't get that here. Here it's just dull, and you look around, and I don't know. I've always found, and I don't get depressed. You know, I'm not a depressed person at all, but I find July is a bit depressing, and August's not much better because there's so much wind and shit. So once August and July are over, then I'm happy. Then September, bring it on. It's like my whole mood improves in leaps and bounds from there on in.
I've never actually thought about it, but I think I agree that July's pretty dull.
Yeah, like it just looks shit.
Nothing raves. Nothing happens in July.
No.
July's just a month. And then August, September, spring starts kicking in.
Yeah.
Starts getting lighter. Birds stop chirping brighter.
Yeah, I mean, my dad's birthday is in July, and then my brother and I are in August, and then luckily for my mum and my sister, they're both in September, so all three of the guys in our family are like, oh, winter babies. We do.
Those are expensive months. July, August, into September.
You're telling me it's crazy. Hey, I saw your mum the other day at the Israeli embassy. There was a big party on for the birthday, and she did all the catering. Damn fine food. I was so annoyed because there were a lot of people, and I was actually really hungry, and I wanted to go back for seconds and things. I thought they'd think I was a pig, but she did the best food. Like, I was thinking of just saying to her, listen, you know what, can't I just buy a whole lot of your stuff and just quietly eat it on my own at home like a pig, and no one will see, because it was so good, dude. Oh.
It is tasty. We did a poke night. Sundays ago.
How are you not the fattest person in the world with a mom who can make food like that?
I used to be.
Yeah.
I used to be, and then I started portion controls.
Dude, if I were living in your house, I'd be so fat. Well, the house that you grew up in with your mom. I'd have been so fat, I wouldn't have been able to move.
You see, at home, like, because she cooked for work, she like, didn't cook at home because it was like a work thing cooking.
Yeah.
And then it was different to like home.
Mm.
So, yeah, a lot of the time, either we got like leftovers from functions and stuff, or we ate healthy at home.
Well, what do they always say?
But it was school and the pies that got me.
Yeah, pies. I remember we discussed this on the show years ago. What do they say? The cobbler's children are never shod. Like, if your dad makes shoes, then you never have the best shoes. That's just how it works.
So true. Like, the plumber will have leaks in his roof because, I don't know, that's just how it works.
Yeah. No, it's one of those bizarre, like, ironies of life. So what's been happening with you, man? What have you been up to?
Oh, this week I'm going on holiday. I need a holiday. Mm-hmm. I leave on Friday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, proper holiday where like no laptop, nothing. Society doesn't exist for the next like week after I leave.
Do you plan
like a bush holiday?
Oh, I was going to say, like, have you already chosen the destination or are you going to just wing it?
No. If you holiday, you plan it. Like leave. You literally worked a full month to get like the single day off.
Oh, you're going with eight people?
Me and eight friends are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
We've got a place in Madikwe.
Oh, nice.
And just secluded, like, right in the bush. It's going to be unreal. You have, like, your own private game driver. And he'll come and fetch you, like, in the morning when you want and take you out in the evening.
Damn, dude.
It's just proper, like, the most relaxing holiday.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
You have, I'm sure a lot of places do this, but on, like, you know, the porch or balcony or whatever you want to call it, that overlooks a watering hole. Like, they've made a watering hole there. So you literally just chill, have breakfast, and, like, elephant come along and rhino come along. It's very cool.
I love that, and it's one of the few things in winter that is really nice is to go to the bush because you can obviously make fires and, you know, you dress really warmly and you go out on these early morning game drives with, like, a cup of steaming hot coffee and that kind of thing is fun. And if you do it, you don't have to, you know, the clever thing about that is there's so many of these little private reserves that are opening up that are hugely expensive, but there are also a lot of them that are very reasonable. Like there's some of them that you can go to and it doesn't have to cost you an absolute fortune to be there. You can get these places where you can fit like 8-10 people in and it doesn't have to be fancy. You know, you literally can braai or you can make very light meals and it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. You can get away for a good few days, be in the bush, which is always refreshing. I mean, I always think, you know, when you actually have like a little bit of nature around you, you suddenly realize like how stupid some of your problems in the city are. You're like, oh, traffic or the petrol price or things that you can't control, things that are actually just not worth getting upset about. And when you're out in the bush, you suddenly kind of come to terms with the fact that actually you're just this pathetic, feeble human that could be eaten by lions and you'd be taken out by they're much bigger, much more frightening monsters and creatures than you. And you suddenly get you get a little bit humble, which is not a bad thing.
I was actually having a debate with my friends over this weekend. What would you do if like a lion came up to you or something? Some guys were saying like play dead. Some were saying like look big.
Yeah.
I was like, just run. Just turn around and start running.
Well, apparently
give yourself 1% chance.
Apparently, though, that's the worst thing you can do with a predator is run, because the moment they see your back, then they go, okay, prey, it's on. And then and those things are much faster than you. They'll take you down. And the best
thing. Yeah, but I'm standing there just waiting for it to happen.
If you stand your ground and you just calm, which is. No, it's impossible because I've probably just...
Calm.
I mean, I'm saying all of this now like I would do any better, but I think I'd also just gap it and run. It's ridiculous. Oh, but that sounds so nice.
My favorite...
Mm. How long are you going for?
A week. Mm. And like my favorite part about the bush, and it's like the smallest thing ever, is when you're on that drive in the morning and you stop for a coffee break and you have that first coffee with Amarula.
Dude.
Oh, there's just something about that just says you're now officially in the bush. You've made it.
Yeah, and you know, if you think about it, we've got all this on our doorstep and people will fly in from all over the world and they'll have to spend way more money to have a quarter of the experience because we can sometimes speak the language that the guide speaks. We know the people. We know the country. You know, for us, it's like right here. You could drive to... some of these game lodges from Joburg, and it would take you an hour or two. And you think about people who have to fly in over, you know, 20 hours to get here, and they have to fork out all of that foreign currency to make it happen in some 5-star resort. And here, oh, there goes.
Oh, I've got backup.
Oh, there we go. Look at you. Organized. That's a very ominous-looking shadow there behind you. Well done. So your internet and everything still works. So you on some kind of inverter or something?
Yeah, I got one of those tiny little UPS things that gets the Wi-Fi going for, I think, another 4 hours.
Oh, that's good.
That is so valuable. And then I just hear the, it's quite soothing. You hear the generator start going. There's this light hum throughout the day. Look at the positives of load shedding.
No, dude, I do. I mean, it's very fucking frustrating, but I do. I mean, I sometimes will just look around and go, okay, well, I've got 2 hours to do whatever I want. I can either work, because I've also got one of those little inverter type things which will keep me going for about 3 or 4 hours. Or I decide, okay, well, the universe is telling you it's time to either have a nap or to read a book, or if, you know, obviously if you've got light, and get something completely different done. So you do. You've got to make use of the time. There's no point sitting there moaning about it.
True. There's something relaxing about it at the same time as annoying.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the bush for a second, because there's something so special about those smells, that sound, the sound of all those little birds in the bush, the sound of the hyenas or the lions or the jackals or whatever it is that you've got around you. And it makes you feel like you are a part of nature and that you are some small little wheel in a much bigger machine. I think that's what we need to do. We sometimes need to reconnect with that stuff, because people forget, and we get so caught up in our stupid lives and in all of these things that we think are so important, like money and, you know, responsibilities and all of the stuff that we judge ourselves and others by. And I reckon it's an amazing thing to go to the bush. It kind of resets you. Oh, by the way.
I think I've lost you there.
No, you got me now. Ruth says there's nothing positive about fucking load shedding. We're all just a bunch of frogs being boiled. Yeah, all right. Calm down, Ruth. Calm down. So, okay, Flax, you are moving out of this place you've been in for a while now, where you've been living with all these other people.
Yeah, I absolutely love it here, but I decided I'd get a little place of my own.
Yeah.
So in about 2-3 months, when transfer goes through, I'm going to move into my own little place and start building my own little home, which is exciting. So I've never owned a home.
You're going to build or you're going to buy? I mean, there's a huge difference.
No, I bought.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I wouldn't know where to start with building.
Dude, it can be such a nightmare. I mean, I built this house that I live in now, and it's awesome, and I love it, and it's, you know, it's the way I wanted it to be. But, jeez, like, you just forget about it if you're in a hurry. Or if you think that contractors are going to take, they always say to you, oh, it'll be done in 6 months. It ends up being like 12. So you can always double the time that a contractor says. And your prices just keep going up and up and up. So you're like, well, can we put a window over there? And they're like, yeah, it's an extra $3,000. When you get round to it, it's like an extra $9,000. It's always way worse. So rather just buy a place.
Did you actually, like, design it?
Mm.
Were you involved in the design process?
Yeah.
How did you know what you wanted, though?
Easy, dude. I always look at when I visit people, when I've been overseas, I'm constantly looking at rooms and doors and houses and windows and floors. And this is probably, if I had to go back and be forced to choose a different career, or I reckon architecture would have been in those top five of possibilities for me. I love that stuff. And I'm always looking around at the way places are designed. And there's a whole show on, there's a whole channel on DSTV where they just do like these renovations. And I mean, I don't watch a lot of television, but when I have watched TV in the last couple of years, that's been one of the channels that's like held my attention for more than 5 minutes. And it's amazing. Like, you see what people do with a crappy little like one bedroom apartment, and they turn it into something really, really nice. Because it's all, you can make a very humble little place look superb if you just put in a couple of really nice finishes. You know, you do the floors nicely, you paint the walls the different color, or you do something with them. I love that stuff. It's like a,
I can never visualize it.
No, it's the best thing. And when I go to sleep at night, this sounds so nerdy and ridiculous, but when I go to sleep at night, I actually imagine like walking through some of the spaces I've designed, and it gives me such a thrill. It's like, okay, and I fall asleep to that. It's like exploring a place you haven't built yet. It's one of the most awesome things. Because you imagine like a little door here.
That's so cool.
Passage down there, little columns, or a, you know, this kind of roof, that kind of roof. I love that stuff. I find it a very creative and exciting thing to do. They say that only a small percentage of people can actually visualize from a drawing what a space might look like. But I'm lucky that that's one of the things that I love to do. And I can usually, you know, you get these programs now, these software programs, which will allow you to render a space
in 3D.
And for some people that helps, because then they can actually see what you mean when you say, oh, well, we'll put an opening there, or we'll make a little step here, or go down a, you know, flight of stairs or whatever. But I love doing that stuff. It's one of my favorite things. My aunt is an architect, and I thought about architecture for a while, but the problem is, if you do architecture and it's your career and it's your job and you study it, you invariably end up doing like a whole lot of boring architecture. You may have to do parking lots and, you know, like gyms or like boring open spaces where there isn't really a whole lot of creativity. You're designing just and warehouses. Can you imagine how boring it is to design a warehouse?
Which is a block.
Yeah. I mean, there's no creativity there. I mean, obviously people will say to you, oh, but you can, you know, put different kinds of columns or different sort of structures, and you know, there's a lot of engineering involved too, so that it's not like the sky's the limit in terms of creativity. But I'm sorry, like the only things I'd be interested in designing would be beautiful houses, and you can't choose that. You might have clients who want you to do schools, and you know, a lot of schools in South Africa all look the same. They're like those three-story brick, you know, they all look classrooms the same size. It's not like you get to experiment and mess around with it. So I don't know. I mean, it's a really fun part of what I like to do in my spare time, designing buildings. I actually found a picture the other day of a little house in England that I really want. I want to now take that, just this picture. Let me see if I can find it for you, because it's cool. And I want to take this picture.
Yeah, do you have anything that you're building now?
Not that I'm
designing.
I'm not building anything now, because to build these things then costs you an absolute fortune, because, you know, building in South Africa, the costs of construction have gone up. And also, I don't own any other property, but I saw this little picture of a place in southern England, I think it is. And I looked at this and I was like, shit, I want to play with that design, and I want to draw what I think the inside should look like. It's got a little courtyard in it, and let me just show you this picture. It's such a cute little building. Now, this excites me more than if you said to me, like, let's go to the bush this weekend and I was going to come with you. I'd rather stay at home and draw this building. And I really would. As much as your holiday, your weekend or week away sounds. Let me show you what this looks like. So I see this.
Did you ever play like Sims as a kid?
I did a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that beautiful? So I want to take that little building and I want to actually draw it in 3D. I want to draw the floor plan. So there's obviously it's two stories and there's an attic story as well. So it'll be like 2.5 stories. You can see through that archway. There's a courtyard. So it's all built around that. So
yeah.
it's probably a square house. You've got big rooms on the corners with one window facing whichever way. Probably two ways that way. And then there'd be two doors going into the room on either side. I mean, I just, this stuff excites the hell out of me, dude. That kind of thing is just my favorite.
That is
stuff.
A beautiful, like, symmetrical house.
Exactly. Now, I could spend hours and hours and hours just moving a little wall here, or, you know, putting some architectural detailing around the top here, or changing the height of the rooms inside and that kind of thing. It's so much fun. I mean, to do that, this is a project I can't wait to get into. And then people say to me, oh, what did you do this weekend? And I'll be like, I drew a building I'm probably never going to build. And they're like, well, what's the point? I'm like, no, it's the most creative thing I can do. It's the most fun thing I can spend my time doing. I love it.
The courtyard in that's interesting. I think that I would enjoy a courtyard.
Yeah, a lot of Mediterranean.
It's like a really cool concept.
Yeah, a lot of Mediterranean houses, especially the bigger and smarter ones, used to have courtyards in the middle, because it was like a private garden where, you know, you didn't have, because you'd have your front door would be on the street usually, and especially in a city, and the courtyard would be like a garden inside that only you had, where you and your family could actually be in the sun, or you could be around plants. It was usually have a fountain in the middle, you know, little pot plants, that kind of thing. It's a beautiful way to build a house. because it does give you a and also it means that the rooms on the inside of the construction also have a view of something pretty. They don't look kind of into blank space.
Oh, true.
See, I know you're pretending to be interested in my
hobby. I never
thought
of it like that.
I know you're pretending to be interested in my boring hobby here, but that's my favorite thing.
No, I really am interested. And what's like your favorite part about your house that you designed? Like the one section you like, this is a masterpiece, Picasso.
You know what? I haven't really designed that many buildings that have actually become a reality. A lot of them have just stayed in my imagination or on paper. But you know what's fun to do is to have, and this is where I really think some architects are absolute genius, because what they do is they can take a space as big as, like, let's say your bedroom. And if you say to them, all right, I want to turn my bedroom into a bathroom and dressing room, and I want to take over the next room as the bedroom. And then what they can do is they can take that space and they can make the most beautiful, big, gorgeous, lovely, luxurious bathroom out of it. I mean, if you can use space properly, if you can turn, you know, walls into, you can angle the walls slightly, or you can put a shower in where you before might have had a window, or you can make, you know, put move taps from here to there and put the basin over there, and, you know, maybe create some kind of a feature in the middle of the room. I mean, those kinds of things are just so much fun to do. I love that stuff. Never get bored.
There was this one thing I was introduced to when I was like house hunting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm maybe not a fan of the concept or I just saw a really bad one. But it's called, I think it's called a Romeo and Juliet bathroom. Is that right?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, where you've got separate toilets, but you've got the rest is shared. Is that it?
Yeah, like the shower opens on both sides to different rooms.
I just found
that so weird.
You find it weird? I think it's cool because a lot of people's relationships break down over like bathroom stuff. Someone said to me the key to a happy marriage is that the man and woman have separate toilets. You can share the bedroom, but like getting ready in the morning and having enough space for both of you. Also, you know, you never ever need to be so close to someone that you could take a shit in front of them ever. As far as I'm concerned, that's when the happiness and the joy and the excitement and the romance leaves the relationship. Is the moment you're like busy brushing your teeth and your husband's taking a shit. I mean, I can't imagine anything worse for a wife. There's just stuff you should never really see. And if you can keep that separate, you can each have your own loo, then I think you'll be much happier.
I quite like it when the bathroom, like the actual toilet, has another door within the bathroom.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. And you know, again, you can design a house. I don't want to belabor the point too much. But you can design a house so that you have multiple entrances to certain rooms, that there's certain places that are kind of cordoned off that are just for your use or just for you and your wife or your husband or whoever it is. I mean, like you could really make a house individually precisely to the design and to the likings of the people who live in it. That's special. I reckon one of the greatest things about being able to design or having the money to get someone to design for you is that you can tailor-make your house to your own needs. You know, like you would have a fine suit that fits you beautifully. Or you would have
doors to your heart.
Yeah. And a desk at work that is perfectly arranged for you, you know, where you have your stuff around you so you can work more efficiently. Like a house that's efficient. And these days, obviously, a house that can save you money on electricity and, you know, you can be off the grid and all of that stuff. That also is a big part of it, I think. Anyway, here's a good point from Lungile who says, gee, can we get Anthea back soon to proper let us know how fucked we are? And then Mike, can't remember his surname, but New York accent to remind us how bad credit is. I think you mean Joe Camino, and we are going to get Joe on. Joe is awesome. He's actually on the schedule, I think, for next week to tell us about, like, you know, what we can do about our money, what little we have left, where to put it, where not to put it, where you can save some money. And he is especially worried about interest rates going up, Joe. So the producers have been talking to him this week. We will have him on next week. And yes, we should get Anthea on. I've noticed something that Anthea might want to talk about, because there's been very little good news in terms of where to put your money lately. But I've seen that the South African stock market, the JSE, is actually looking a lot better than it has for a long time. And surprisingly, looking a bit better than the New York Stock Exchange at the moment. If you'd put money in, and especially into things like NASPAS, which I know, you know, Anthea always used to be quite big on. It's actually looking quite healthy at the moment. I wouldn't say it's making you a fortune, but it's looking a lot healthier than the stocks that you might have had if you were in America. Anyway, it's something to think about. Oh, here's something.
Invest cool. While you're young.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also just leave it there and don't worry too much about it, because what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's it.
Ruth says, one day I'll redesign my kitchen. Always upgrade the kitchen. You know, again, like if you spend a lot of time in a room, it's so helpful if it's beautifully designed. And a kitchen that is where everything is where it's meant to be, and there's a place for everything, and, you know, the stuff is within arm's reach if you're cooking or if you need to get – you don't want to have to squeeze into little spaces and have cupboards that don't open properly, and that kind of shit drives me up the wall. So I think part of this design thing that I'm so into at the moment is also – it's removing unnecessary stress and frustration from your life by making things work.
I feel like whenever you have a design thing, you draw it out, you visualize it. Mm. I just get sent to Pinterest and have to go find it.
Yeah, it's like those people who, I remember you used to go to the hairdresser and you'd give them a picture and say, cut my hair like this. Right?
Yeah.
Instead of...
That's what... I still do that.
I know. I'm sure you do. There are some people who describe it to their hairdresser. They're like, well, this is how I want it to look. You couldn't do that. You just show them a picture and say, do that. And that's okay. I mean, that's, you know, there are people who are good at design, and there are people who know what they want, but they can't explain it. So they just show you someone else's version. Mm-hmm. My niece...
So I find it so interesting that you can visualize...
Yeah, I love it, dude. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just sit there and imagine how you could improve a space. Beth says, my niece is an architect. Her least favorite job is extensions. Oh, yeah. And it's a hard thing to do because you have to knock down walls. It's always a mess. But I'm always thinking about this stuff. Like, even looking at this room now, I'm like, well, that wall could really go. I could put it across the passage and just open it up, make it much bigger. I'm always thinking like this. Anyway, it's not going to happen. Mm. It's not going to happen because you also need money to do it. So forget about that for the moment.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Damn right. Okay, so let's look at a couple of headlines quickly this morning. And by the way, a little later on, we're going to be joined by Aria Kelman, who we haven't seen in ages and ages. We're just going to catch up with him. Of course, Aria was one of the people who started at the beginning of Cliff Central, along with Flax. He brought you into the building.
Yeah, the man's a legend. In my opinion, he's still the next Steve Jobs.
He's amazing, and he's been working his backside off with his business, and we'll be catching up with him. He used to host our afternoon show on Cliff Central, and he's the creative officer, the chief creative officer, and the co-founder of a company called Tilt, and he'll tell us about what they do and what the world of influencer marketing is all about right now. And I'm very, very keen to catch up with him, because the last time we spoke to him on the show was, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 years ago. It's been ages. So we, yeah, I know, and it's really well overdue. Time to catch up with Aria. So let's see what we can talk to him about later on. And we've also got a great podcast, which I don't know if you've heard this, but it is absolutely awesome. And I saw the host of that podcast yesterday, Professor Christopher Paul Sabo, who is, of course, a psychiatrist, a very well-known psychiatrist, and he has been talking about a bunch of things that are fascinating. So if you want to listen to an episode of his show, I can guarantee you it'll blow your mind. ADHD is one of the things that he's focused on, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And that, of course, is a condition which is associated primarily with children, but is increasingly being diagnosed in adults as well. The sufferer has their own challenges to face, but what about their parents, siblings, spouses, partners, colleagues, peers? What about teachers? How do they cope with the sufferer? Well, this week on Beyond Madness, Living with ADHD, in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, the sponsors of Brave, and you want to listen to Professor Szabo and hear what he has to say about all of this. ADHD, he's got some fascinating topics, though. They talk about the difficulty of grief and how you deal with loss. They also talk in a forthcoming episode about assisted suicide. Do you have the right to end your own life? And what are the psychological and psychiatric implications for the people around you when you make a decision like that? And can you be talked out of it? Is that ethical? Can you be talked into it? Is that ethical? There's so many questions. So do not miss Beyond Madness and this week's new episode on ADHD in proud association with Adcock Ingram OTC, sponsors of Brave. Did you have ADHD?
No. I don't think I did. I mean, school was so far away that, like, it's a blur at this point in time. But do you ever chat to that other professor? I think it was Professor Block that was big into the astronomy or something.
We had him on.
He was so passionate about the planets.
Oh, yeah. We had Prof. David Block. We had him on just the other day. He's still as passionate as ever about that stuff. I love Prof. Block. He's one of my favorite guests.
Remarkable guy. To be so passionate about something that you've, like, you've never actually seen.
Yeah.
Like, you've never seen Mars or Saturn.
Well, you haven't
been. Yet he loves it.
You haven't been there, but you can see it through telescopes. And he has. He's looked through some of the most powerful telescopes that there are. And, of course, you can see the footage from there on, you know, on satellite images that have been beamed from the surface of Mars. But he is. He's so excited about it. Actually, Flax, I mean, if you have powerful telescopes, you can see the most incredible things in the universe. You just can't get there for some of them. But, you know, they photographed, for example, for the first time ever, a black hole the other day. And they,
really?
Yeah. I mean, you can actually see.
What?
Well, it doesn't look
what
like.
What is there to see?
It doesn't look like a whole lot, but I'll show you the picture. It went all over the world. It's the first time we've actually had proof that a black hole could exist and what it might look like. So let me show you this quickly.
Where does a black hole take you to?
Are we going to go down this very complicated discussion now? Because I'm not going to explain this in any great detail. And if I get it wrong, there are going to be 100 people who are going to tell me, oh, no, you got it wrong. Okay, so let me show you what they think it looks like. And then I'll show you what the actual picture looked like. Because the one is a phenomenal thing to see because you know it's really out there. The other one, if you could get close enough, would be terrifying to behold. So first of all, this is the famous picture that has been recently taken of a black hole that's close, meaning millions of light years away. But this is it. And that light around that central dark hole is proof that, first of all, these structures exist in the universe. And second of all, that they are tremendously energetic. Now, they say that if you went over the lip of a black hole into that hole, the time would stretch, that either things would go extremely, extremely fast or extremely slow, and that everything would change. And if you emerged on the other side of what is called the event horizon, if you actually went into the black hole, you could essentially move through the universe at a speed faster than light. So it's mind-bending stuff, literally and figuratively. But if it was possible to get close enough, I don't think you could survive it. That's what they say it would look like if you were really close by. I mean, that is amazing.
Oh, man.
Isn't it?
And realistically, it looks more like a glazed donut.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a donut. So, I mean, you're not going to get excited about that like Prof. Block did, but my goodness, was he jumping up and down when he told us about that. All right, a few headlines.
I love to see it.
Oh, he's so great. He's just so enthusiastic about everything. So, Kasatu has called on government to continue with the fuel levy and tax relief. I think that would be a great idea. Of course, it's not going to last forever. The Trade Union Federation was reacting to the shock increase of more than 2 rand a litre for grades of petrol and diesel. And this has happened over the course of today. In fact, it's going to kick in. Midnight last night it would have started. So Kasatu has said, please, the fuel levy tax relief must continue and it will ease the burden on cash-strapped consumers. This comes as citizens have to once again brace for another massive fuel price hike today. The trade union was reacting to the shock increase. On Monday, the energy department said petrol 93 is expected to cost an additional 2 rand 37 a litre, while 95 octane will cost an additional 2 rand 57 a litre. This is while the price of diesel is also set to increase by 2.30 and 2.31 per litre. Moreover, the department announced the temporary reduction in the fuel levy would drop from 1.50 to 75 cents. So we get hit with a double whammy. Isn't that great?
Do we know why it's gone up? Like the explanation,
well,
something happened?
Yeah, the international fuel prices on the rise, mostly as a result of, Russia provides quite a lot of that, and there are sanctions on Russia at the moment. International supply has been affected quite badly since, the lockdowns and all the rest of it too. America is no longer drilling. There are some countries that are hugely dependent, like European countries, on Russian fuel, who are now either using more and paying commensurately more as well. But there's also the fact that international logistics is such a mess at the moment. Like actually getting this stuff from A to B is becoming more expensive and complicated because all of this was disrupted so badly during the pandemic. But largely it's a Russia thing. Oil and gas, the supply of oil and gas has been turned off in many places. I know places like Saudi Arabia have got their oil business churning at full capacity at the moment. They cannot produce enough for the world's needs. So obviously when, supply is restricted, demand goes up. And when demand goes up, you pay more for every liter. So we are just victims of what's going on in the rest of the world. But that's going to happen with
But that stuff's not... It's not going to change anytime soon. So does that mean petrol's just going to keep going up?
Probably for a while, and probably until we find alternatives. It's going to be a reality that we have to deal with, I'm afraid. And then speaking of increases that we can't do anything about, we always talk about Eskom, and you might have noticed the power has not gone off this morning in some places. In some places, it has. Unions have accepted Eskom's 7% wage increase. A deadlock in talks led to a wildcat strike at the utility. Eskom said its strike action is to blame for the latest bout of power cuts. So we should see, at least there, some stability return shortly. We are going to sign, so we're in a meeting with Eskom after lunch. We're probably going to assure that we have a mandate to sign today. So hopefully it's all over today. I don't know why we keep the people at Eskom. They should all be fired. All of them.
This isn't due to like wet coal or not enough coal.
Nope.
This is just people are striking.
That's just people striking. They want double-digit increases in an economy where, like, are you kidding? People are losing their jobs left, right, and center, and you think you can get more? Eskom pays their workers. They're the third best employer in terms of salaries in the country. For what? For a company that doesn't even deliver its product properly. Crazy, right?
That's so interesting how people can just be like, no, we're not working today, and then it literally cuts the electricity to half the nation.
Yep. And G-Star says corruption, Flax. That's exactly right. That's a huge part of it, too. I've got power in the morning for the first time this week, says Ethan. Okay, good, Ethan. I hope it stays that way for you. It's very frustrating to wake up in the dark. Filthy commie unions, says G-Star. Quite right. Absolutely. So workers who cannot run a power plant are striking because they want more pay. Please explain. Hey, parallel parking, if I could explain, I'd be in charge of the government. And you wouldn't want that, trust me. Okay, some other news that is going on at the moment. Poor maintenance has caused the government printing works to crash. This government...
What is the government printing works?
Okay, so there's a thing... Flax, every time we make a law in South Africa, we have to publish it in something called the Government Gazette, okay, which is a newspaper, believe it or not. And a law is not a law until it's printed in there. It's very old school, but these things are actually handed out. But Government Printing Works also produces pamphlets. They produce lots of critical information out of government. Anyway, they've crashed. Not surprisingly, idiots in charge, you play dumb games, you get dumb prizes. So a government printing works system crash has led to a massive data loss, which was caused by poor ICT maintenance. Oh! And chief information officer of the government printing works had a team that didn't know how to perform proper functions on the server. This is the finding of a panel that Home Affairs Minister Aaron Motsoaledi appointed to investigate the system glitch. The server supporting corporate services and e-gazettes at the government printing works crashed in 2021, resulting in a loss of critical information. Some of the info, the panel was informed, might never be recovered. So, he told MPs that this has actually happened. Yeah, this has already happened. This is now the investigation that's telling us these things. How do you like that? Great, huh?
I mean, when it comes to budget cuts, wouldn't the section be first to go? It sounds like a waste of money, the whole printing on paper just to prove a law. Send out an email.
So there are lots of things that the government still has to print on paper for people who don't have computers. You know, the majority of South Africans don't have email or computers, and you still have to communicate with those people. And there's a lot of paper in the system that we're still going to need to pass around. You know, everything from drafts of legislation to eventual laws which need to be promulgated. And, you know, you've seen those things up on the walls explaining how labor regulations work and things like that. The government printing works does all of that. But they're so goddamn useless. Just another example of how stupid, pointless, corrupt, and useless our government are. We should stop paying these people taxes, honestly. I don't know what we're paying for. We're paying for pure incompetence. So, here's what they found. They found that the servicing of two UPS, that's power supplies, undertaken by Tescom SA, identified the need to replace a parallel board which had been overheating. There's a lot of detail, but anyway. In October 2019, it was discovered that the backup library was not functioning properly and that the tape drives were failing. The replacement of the disk drives was performed by the deputy director. During 2020, the tape library was repaired in-house. Delays were experienced in the respective procurement of new ones, and the robotic arm of the tape library was also found to be faulty in need of repairs. In 2020, hard drive failures were reported, and the whole system crashed. So an application for firmware upgrades was made by the then CIO. Just basically, yeah, you know, routine incompetence of government. Bunch of people who don't know what they're doing. Well done, you morons.
Have you seen one of these papers?
Well,
Have you read one?
Yeah, you actually... So the Government Gazette and the government printer is in Pretoria. And I remember, for example, if you have reported cases or in some situations, if you've lodged a complaint against legislation, it actually gets printed in there as well. So when they're about to promulgate a law, they send out the draft in the Government Gazette. And that's when the public, us, we're allowed to complain and say, no, we don't like this law because X and Y. And, you know, public participation is an important part in a democracy of any legislation that's promulgated. So, for example, if you didn't like expropriation without compensation, you would have to write your complaints into the Government Gazette and they would have to be published. And this is what people don't realize. It's an important part of a democracy. That's why it's important that it functions. And I remember when I was a law student, we went to the government printer and actually got a copy of the Government Gazette. They print it every week, I think. They may have reduced that now. But every week, they don't print like thousands and thousands of copies. But if you want one, as a citizen of South Africa, you can go and get one anytime you like.
That's so interesting. For some reason, just to cast a parallel, every week there's a guy that throws a newspaper over my wall.
Yeah.
Don't know who subscribed to it, don't know where it comes from, but it's called China Daily. And it's just all just news there.
From China?
Yeah, someone subscribed to it. Oh, wow. They've never stopped bringing it week on week on week.
And is it in Chinese or is it in English?
Yeah, no, I cannot understand a single word or letter on it.
So you at least get free newspaper to burn in fires. I mean, that's quite...
I'd just love to know who's subscribed and who's still paying for it. And the fact that you can get, like, China Daily here, you could probably get, like, other newspapers from different countries here. Interesting. I mean, I did not know about this Government Gazette until today.
You learn something new on this show every day. Just one last thing.
Yeah.
Cyril, the president, Ramaphosa, has said that Eskom must stop targeting the townships with prolonged blackouts. Now, I don't know if we're meant to believe him or not, I mean, he's obviously so unpopular at the moment, and the president's in huge trouble. The whole ANC is in huge trouble. So he's obviously going to go for the lowest hanging fruit. And here what he's trying to do clearly is curry favor with poor people in townships. So he told Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan to immediately attend to what he called Eskom's targeting of townships with long hours of load shedding. I don't know if that's even true, that townships have been targeted for long hours of load shedding. I don't know whether it's true that certain suburbs have been hit harder than others. We don't know. We can only assume that the president does, and that if he has seen that there's some injustice, that he's doing the right thing. But I don't believe them anymore. I think he's just doing this because he needs his base, his voting base, to turn out and save him from being made a laughingstock in his own party and at the next poll. So screw you, Cyril. We don't believe you. And if people in the townships are going to fall for this old trick, then they've got to learn the hard way. Vote for this guy, end up
with the next problems. When's the next poll happening?
I think we've got another election in 2024. Or is it before then?
Don't things like usually get really good during election and before, like months before the election?
I don't know, dude. I really don't know. Let me just check quickly when our next elections are, because we've got provincial. So the 2024 South African general election is the next one. And we've got, in between then and now, another municipal and local.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sneezing again. All right.
Thank you.
So I don't know whether certain places are targeted more than others in load shedding. Have you driven past a certain neighborhood and seen that maybe their lights never go off? I mean, we know about those areas which are near hospitals or, you know, where they, for example, they just don't seem to get load shed. But there are places, I suppose, that get targeted more. On average, how many hours have you had load shedding in the last week where you are?
I'm four hours a day in, I think, stage four, then 6 hours a day in stage six. So, like, I'm off now till 8:30, and then I'm off 2 to 4:30, but sometimes when they switch it on at 4:30, it blows the substation, and then I'm on only at, like, 11 that night.
Yeah, that's probably the same for me as well. So I don't know whether that's normal, and if the townships, they've had a much worse time than... Who knows? The infrastructure, says VK, transformers get stolen in the townships, like in Tokoza. That is the main problem. Okay, well, if that's true, then that's a whole different story. Time to start calling out the ANC, says G-Star. The ANC voters are enemies of South Africa, as they are. Wow, okay, you can't... The voters are allowed to vote for whoever they want. You can't lock people out and call them out as... enemies of the state. I mean, people can vote for whoever they want. If they vote stupidly, that's their business. We all have to pay the price, obviously, if enough terrible people vote for a terrible party. But you can't go around locking up supporters of parties. We have to make 2024 count, says Ruth. Please don't think I'm not voting. You have to allow the ANC by default to come in. All right, Ruth, too many words in that sentence. You're blowing my mind so early in the morning. Please, figure it out, rewrite it, and I'll try to make sense of it. Good Lord. By the time schedule is all stuffed, wonder how people are eating from frozen dinners. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you've had more than 4 hours of load shedding, do you have to throw away all the stuff in your freezer?
No. 4 hours is good. Last Tuesday, though, we had no electricity the entire day. It went off Monday night at 8.
Oh, my God.
And then came back on Wednesday morning at, like, 6. That's when I had the freezer defrosted. The geyser went cold.
You have to throw everything out.
I had to reset, throw out.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have much food in the freezer because of load shedding. You can't really cook much.
Right.
So I've just given up on that now, for now.
Ay, ay, ay. Delivery. Well, that's no good. That's horrible. You started an online clothing store recently selling your old clothes. Now, how do you do this? Do you go on someone else's site, or did you develop your own online clothing store? How did this work, Flax?
So I was, like, so sick of having old clothes, like clothes I've had from, like, 3 years ago that isn't even my style anymore. Like, back in the back in the day, I used to wear Justin Bieber sort of long tees that were cut and.
I remember you also weird bought style. You bought a bunch of really shit shoes at one point because you thought they looked nice, and I guarantee you don't wear those anymore.
100% not. That style is, I can't believe people actually let me wear half that stuff. Like, the jeans would be torn, the shirt would be torn.
Yeah.
Nah. So, I've been hoarding that stuff and just keeping it in the cupboard. And then I decided, like, why don't I make some cash off this? So, thrift stores is a vibe. And it's a thing. So, there's this thrift store called Yaga. And basically, you can, it's a platform, and you can upload your own little shop within there and upload pictures of your clothes. And it's not like high-end photos. It's literally just off your phone. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
And then I just started posting all my clothes with a description and a price. And then people are buying it. Like, I've sold maybe like 15 items, and all I do is I go drop it at like a Pep.
Yeah.
And then they have a courier service to another Pep. Or I drop it at the post office, not the post office, a Postnet.
Yeah.
Or like.
So hang on, how do you spell this Yaga? How do you spell that?
Just Yaga. And it's so simple to do. And you actually make cash instead of your old clothes sitting in your room. Dude. Someone else is going to buy it. Someone else wants it.
That's phenomenal. I love that. That is a clever way to save some money. We all have clothes that we don't wear anymore, right?
Yeah. Like, instead of just letting it sit in the cupboard, get, fish moths or something
moth,
like that?
Yeah. So, how much money have you made?
I've made, listen, remember these clothes are like 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, so it's not.
I think I've made about 3.5 or 4 grand.
That's not bad, dude. 3.5 grand that you didn't have before is excellent for clothes that you're never going to wear again.
Yeah.
What a win.
True, and it's very little effort. You literally take a photo, put a description, and then someone just says, take it. And then it says sold, and you go drop it off, and next minute the money's in your bank account.
All right, Yaga. I got to check that out because I was looking through my...
You can also buy.
I was looking through my cupboards the other day. I was like, there's some stuff in here that I'm never going to wear again. I just got to get rid of this. And also, you could take that 3.5 grand that you made now and go and buy some new stuff.
So that's my logic now. Everything I buy, I'm going to sell, and I'm going to rebuy and make new things cheaper.
That makes sense.
And just keep that circle and cycle going.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. So some people here are still talking about the voting and how that would work. So propaganda says that taxpayers should be allowed 2 votes. Then we would see who the people really want. In other words, if you pay personal income tax, you get an extra vote. Well... fine propaganda, but how do you draw a line then? Because what if someone has, is it per every 10,000 rand of tax that you pay or every 100,000 rand of tax that you pay? Then you'll have billionaires who get like 20 votes each. Is that the way it should work? I mean, some people would say that's probably right because they probably employ.
Billionaires would love it.
Yeah, of course, billionaires would love it, but. You know, they already have influence on the political system like the rest of us don't. So I'd love to know. A lot of people talking about newspapers, so you get that China Daily News or whatever it is. Somebody said here, I still buy the Sunday Times whenever I can. Newspapers come in handy when cleaning the grill or covering car seats when transporting messy items. You see, that's really the only use for newspapers anymore. I don't know anybody who still reads the newspapers like they used to. I haven't bought a newspaper in probably about 4 or 5 years.
Do you remember the only place to see when movies were showing and what times they were showing was the newspaper?
That I do remember that. It wasn't even that long ago. now, luckily...
Probably that thought just popped in my head.
I know, but
that was how we did it.
It was a thing. It was the only place you could find that out, so you had to.
But then also like the ETV schedule and everything was all from the newspaper.
Yeah, correct. Like you'd actually look at the TV schedule to see when your favorite show was on.
Mad.
How ridiculous, right? How ridiculous.
It used to be useful.
Yeah. Claire is saying thrifting is the future. So I suppose you could call what you did thrifting. Do you courier the item or drop it off yourself, Flex, says Ethan.
So they give you different options. The options I give people is because I never know where I'm going to be and I don't want like a courier to come to the house and I'm not here. Mm. I drop it off at pep stores and then the pep store delivers it to another pep store. And it's really efficient.
Okay. Steph says you could also see who died in the classifieds. Well, I think they still do that in the newspapers. They have like a births, deaths, and marriages section, and that's how old people in old age homes find out which of their friends are still alive. Viva thrifting.
Can't
and
you buy space?
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah, you can advertise.
In classifieds?
So yeah, you can.
Like $50.
Sure. Yeah, you could buy like a whole page now for $50 because nobody's reading it, so... You could put yourself in the newspaper, you know, Grand High King of Sandhurst, Michael Flax, and you put a nice picture of yourself in there, and someone would take your money to publish that, I'm telling you. Claire says, Viva thrifting and no global warming, is that your vibe, Flax? Okay, clearly that is, and you're also into it in a big way, Claire, because that's not your first comment about it. Thrifting is much more affordable. A lot of people talking about that. All right. Well, it is 7 o'clock. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got Michael Flax. We've got Aria Kelman joining us later on. And we want to hear from you in the comments. Let us know what you're up to. You can also email us contact@cliffcentral.com. It is Wednesday morning. It's the 6th of July, just after 7.
Cliffcentral.com.